I want you to listen as I speak this morning on keep winning what you have won. Keep winning what you have won. I'm going to tell you this morning why you're having problems in your marriage. It's your unreasonable wife. Not one fella had the courage enough to say amen. Not one. Ray Bordway did begin a chuckle and then stifled it. I'm going to tell you this morning why churches fail. I don't mean close the doors. I mean worse than that, keep the doors open. I want to tell you this morning why love grows stale. I hope you'll listen to me very, very carefully. Our Heavenly Father, if wanting to help people was enough, everybody here this morning would be helped. If love for people were enough, everybody here this morning would be helped. I pray today that my desire and my love shall be fulfilled in this hour, so that these dear, beloved people with whom I've served for these years will be helped today. Amen. Set up straight. Watch carefully. Listen to me very attentively. There are two seasons. There were two seasons in the year when rain was peculiarly needed and looked for in Judea. Number one was the autumn time. That was to them the seed time. It was the time of the planting. Number two was the springtime, was the harvest time, actually when the corn had to be brought to an ear and filled. The first need of rain during the seed time was called the former rain, F-O-R-M-E-R, former rain. The second rain in the springtime that was used to bring the corn to an ear and to be filled was known as the latter rain. Several times in the Bible you have mentioned, God mentions the former and the latter rain. Deuteronomy 11:14, God said, I will give thee the first rain and the latter rain. That's the rain at seed time and the rain that prepares for the harvest. In Job 29 and verse 23, it says, they opened their mouth wide as for the latter rain, the harvest rain. In Jeremiah 5:24, it says, God that giveth rain, both the former and the latter rain. Are you listening to me? Joel 2:23 says, he hath given you the former rain and the latter rain. Don't leave me, because I'm laying the foundation for everything else that I'll say. And in our text in Zechariah 10:1, it says, and this is an interesting verse, ask ye of the Lord rain in the time of the latter rain. Interesting thing here is that God's telling them to pray for rain while it's raining. He says, ask for rain during the latter rain. The harvest rain. God is saying here, pray for rain while it's raining. Anybody that's got any sense knows that's not the time to pray for rain. You pray for rain during the drought. Anybody here, don't raise your hand, but anybody here ever pray for rain during a rainstorm? Oh, God, give us rain. It's raining outside. Last week, one night, we had a gully washer where we live, and I didn't get up and pray for rain during the night. In fact, I didn't get up during the night. But I'm simply saying that God is saying here something very interesting. He's saying, not in the drought, only pray for rain. But God is saying, pray for rain during the rain. Now, why do that? The former rain always came. The latter rain always came. They didn't have to pray for the latter rain to get the latter rain, because it was a regular thing. The former rain came, at the seed time, and the latter rain came at the harvest time. Now here we are in the harvest time. It's pouring down rain, and it always does. Always does. And God says, pray for rain. Now why ask? It always comes. I'll tell you exactly why. God does not want to be taken for granted. God said, I want you to pray for rain while it's raining. Don't just think that I always will give you rain. Don't take me for granted. Let me read you a verse. Don't turn to it. You can't, because I won't tell you where it is. But I want to read from this verse. Listen carefully. Ye doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and who count them but dung. Now listen to this. That I may win Christ. That's a strange verse. That I may win Christ. Well, I already have Christ. Was Paul trying to earn his salvation? He already had salvation. Was Paul trying to win Christ? Get Christ? No, he already had Christ. He was saying this. Now listen carefully to this. He was saying, I have him, but I want to love him as if my love, I had to love him to get him. I know I have him, but I want to serve him as if I only got him by serving him. Are you listening? He said, I want to win Christ. Now all of us know that when you come to Christ, you're saved and you have Christ. Christ in me, the hope of glory. The minute that you trust Christ, trusted Jesus as your Savior, God made you his child. Your name was written in heaven. Holy Spirit came in to live. Christ came into you. He'll be there forever and forever. Then why in the name of common sense did Paul say that I may win Christ? He was saying this. Why shouldn't I work as hard, get this now, why shouldn't I work as hard to serve him because I have him as I would work if I had to work to get him? Why shouldn't I love him more because I have him than because I'm working to get him? He said if I had to work to go to heaven, I'd work myself the hand to the bone to get to go to heaven. But he said, I'm going to heaven anyway. Why shouldn't I work as much because I love him as if I was selfish at trying to earn my way to heaven? And God is saying here, he's saying, ask, pray for rain in the latter time of the latter rain. While it's raining, pray for rain. One of the greatest things that I have is my looks. One of the greatest things I have is this. I have learned as an older man, it won't just happen. I'm afraid that preachers are blessed of God and blessed of God and blessed of God. They get older, it always has happened and always will happen. Thank God I've learned it won't happen just because it has always happened. And thank God I've learned it won't happen just because I'm Jack Hyatt. And thank God I've learned it won't happen just because this is the First Baptist Church of Hammond, Indiana. Let me tell you, during revival, we ought to pray for revival. During blessings, we ought to pray for blessings. God said, while it's raining, don't take me for granted, he said. I want you to pray for rain while it's raining just as much as you'd pray for rain when there's a drought. And by the way, if you'd pray for rain as much while it's raining as you would in case of a drought, there wouldn't be a drought. I plead for health when my health is good. I mean that. I don't wait till I've lost my health to beg God for health. I beg God for health every day just as much as I'd beg him for health as if I didn't have any health. Now, if you don't believe that he answers me, look at this old man kick up here on this platform. Some of you young preachers, I won't go into that. But anyway, I'm simply saying, the time to beg God for health is while you're well. God said, beg me for health while you're well. Beg me for souls while they're flooding the altar. Beg me for strength while you're strong. Beg me for financial help while you're prospering. Beg me for joy while you're happy. Beg me for content while you're contented. God is saying, it's raining.
It's the latter rain time, and the rain is falling. Now, he said, don't take it for granted. He said, if you want it next time, pray for it now while it's raining now. America has taken God for granted. We've always had peace, so we always will. We've always had prosperity, so we always will. Let me tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. If the United States of America doesn't get back to calling on God during prosperity, we're going to be cast into a famine. If we don't call on God for peace, one of these days bombs will drop on our shores. I want to tell you, in your own personal life, while you're happy, beg God for happiness. While you're full, beg God for plenty. While you're employed, beg God for work. While you're well, beg God for health. That's what he's saying here.
You know, sad but true, it's the good husband who's taken for granted. Listen carefully. God is saying here, now listen, ladies, God is saying be as diligent to keep him as you were to get him. I'm not through yet. Be as diligent to keep him as you were to get him, and as you will be to get him back after you've lost him. Listen to me. I sit in my office, and I counsel with couples, and one has been unfaithful, one is leaving the other, and all of a sudden, if it's the wife is leaving her husband, all of a sudden he becomes Prince Charming. All of a sudden he becomes loving. All of a sudden he becomes thoughtful. God is saying to you, ladies, you treat your husband, you keep on winning him. You want him back yonder. Now keep on winning him now that you got him. And work as hard to win him now as you did when you're trying to get him. That's what God is saying here. He's saying, you men, you remember those days. You called ahead to the restaurant, made a reservation. Called down the florist and got a corsage. Took a bath. All those emergency measures. Brushed your teeth. Sprayed some of that musk oil, the kind of makes you growl. Went up to the door, rang the doorbell, told her how lovely she looked. She went out, opened the door to the car, and she got in the car, and you took off for the evening that you had planned. Now then you go out in the car, sit there, and start honking the horn. She comes out, opens the door for herself, and you look at her and say, well, where do you want to go? God is saying here, you listen to me. You'll come to my office before long, and you'll sit in my office, and you'll be having marital problems, and I'll tell you exactly why you'll have them, because you're not trying to win what you want. God said, you have me, now win me. You have her, now win her. You have him, now win him. I know it's good. It's the good friend that's taken for granted. You have a friend you can trust. You have a friend you know will always be a friend. Treat that friend like you were trying to win that friendship every day. You have a church. You sat this morning in the greatest church in the world with the cutest pastor in the world. You sat here this morning in the greatest church in America. You ought to sit here and beg God while we wait for the doors of the choir to come out. You ought to sit there and beg God, oh God, we know the invitation is going to be altar be filled after a while. We know that. But oh God, fill the altar. God said, I'm going to. I know it, but I beg you to fill the altar. But we got people here already walked out. But I beg you to fill the altar. I plead with God every week of my life to fill this altar. I am not going to take my God for granted. He said, while the rain, latter rain is falling, you pray for rain. You kids. If you were orphans, had no home to live in, And you had a chance to move in a home where you had your own room, your own mother and father, adopted mother and father. You'd do all you could to win their favor. God says here, listen to me. God said, you children who have good daddies, they're yours. He said, win them.
You young people, you have good mothers. They're yours. And you feel that lackadaisical kind of satisfaction, they're mine, they're always mine. God said, you look at that mother who cooks for you and cleans your house and brought you in the world, and God said, you treat her every day like you're trying to win her to be your mother.
Amos said, woe to them that are at ease in Zion. You're in Zion.
Follow me carefully. Here were the Jews
in captivity in Babylon.
Oh, they wanted to go home. Oh, they said, oh God, take us back to our homeland. Take us back to Zion. Let us see that mount again. Let us see that holy city again. Let us build a temple again. Let us build a wall again. Let us see that holy land again. Let us see the Mount of Olives again. Let us see the Valley of Kidron again. Let us see the town of Bethlehem again. Let us see it again. And God delivers them back. Now God said, "Why, when you get back to Zion, don't you sit there and take Zion for granted. You beg God to keep you in Zion with the same fervor that you beg God to get you back to Zion." Pitiful. It's pitiful. You still trying to win your wife? Put your arm around her. You still trying to win your wife or your husband? Put your arm around him. Tell him he's wonderful. Ask God to forgive you for lying. You mark it down. One of these days, the old glory is going to dip its sails. One of these days, the great United States of America is going to crumble beneath the wrath of a God who said, I am a jealous God, and you have taken me for granted. While it's raining, he said, pray for rain, beg for rain, not when the drought is here, while the rain is falling.
Every man in this room's got a wife. Ought to work as hard to win her as if you didn't have her. And every woman here that's got a husband ought to work as hard to win him as if she didn't have him. And every child, teenager here that's got a happy home ought to work as hard to win his parents as if he didn't have them. I'm saying, ladies and gentlemen, the great secret to perpetual success is begging God for success during success. You will never have it made. You keep winning what you have won. The person won should be treated as well as the person being won. That's the sermon. The person already won should be treated as well as the person being won. I'm putting some carpet down here. Some of these guys were at a meeting we had. You at that meeting discussed the carpet. You were, I know. You were. Where were you? On vacation, all right. I knew it was summer, but I should have known you're on vacation. But you were there. We had a meeting with a carpet company here in this area. So I started off, I said, now, first I want to tell you, we got 4 weeks before we have to have the carpet down. I said, now, up front, I want to tell you that if you can't do it, tell me so I can get somebody else to do it. Now I said, I'm not asking you to do it, because it probably can't be done. Probably can't carpet this whole thing. There's more carpet in this building than there would be if you carpeted Soldier Field, Chicago. So I said, I'm not asking you to do it. I'm asking you, can you do it? They did some checking, had a meeting the next day, and the fellow said, yes, we can do it. You heard him say it. Yes, we can do it. You hear him say it too, Roy? Good. Did you hear me ask you if you heard him say it? And yes, we can do it. A week passes. I'm flying back on Wednesday, nearly a week. I call my secretary and I find out that the fellow said they can't do it all. A week had passed. Now he got the order and worked to get the order and was Mr. Congenial to get the order. But the kind of people that build businesses are the kind of people that tries hard to keep a customer is to get a customer. I called a fellow on the phone, the carpet company. And I said, you promised us that you'd have it down before college starts, before September 2nd. Well, he said, we found out we can't. I said, you promised us. I told you. I said, didn't I tell you if you didn't have it down, if you promised me and didn't have it down, I was going to burn your building. I told the head of the company. I said, now, I'm not asking you to do it. I'm saying, if you tell me you do it and you don't get it done, I'm going to burn your building. Pray that the building doesn't burn, would you please? And I thought that's exactly what most of the people in this room are doing right now. You've got your order. You got your marriage license. She's your mama. He's your daddy. He's your husband. She's your wife. This is your church. Sit down and be comfortable. God said, woe unto those that are at ease in Zion. He didn't say those that are at ease praying to get back to Zion. When you get back to Zion and you're there on the Mount of Olives, don't take it for granted. Pray for God to keep you on the Mount of Olives. My counseling. Mentioned it a while ago. He mistreats her. He says, I'll be home for supper at 5. It is at 5, but it's the next morning. It's okay, I've got her. I've got her. He mistreats her. I've got her. I got a marriage license. She leaves him. I call her. Beg for it. Let me talk to him. They come to my office. He becomes Lord Chesterfield. And he says, I'll do this, and I'll do this, and I'll do that. If he had done this and that, they wouldn't be sitting there. Or she treats him like he was just a casual acquaintance. No Gucci goo. I see fellows smiling all over the building. But she treats him just like, for granted, like God said. All of a sudden, he becomes disinterested. They sit in office every week of my life. I'm telling you today, ladies and gentlemen, if you would pray for God to help you keep what you've got and give the same diligence to keeping as you did getting, your whole life would be transformed and changed. Illustration. A husband dies. By the way, I know too much about you. And you can't leave the church or I'll tell all. You call that spiritual blackmail. Here's a couple having trouble. She says, I don't love him anymore. He dropped dead of the heart attack. She falls in love with him at the casket. Oh, how I loved you. I wish sometimes I could wake him up for 10 seconds and have him sit up and say, why didn't you tell me? But now, wait a minute. Several months passes, maybe a year or two, and some old codger takes a glance at her. Hey, don't sell us old codgers short. takes a liking to her. She decides to win him. And that widow is nicer to this suitor of hers than she was to the guy she lived with for 30 years. Now, ladies, don't get mad at me. I'm not talking about you. It's people out in Arkansas that do this. I'm not talking about you. I will say, Mabel, you ought to treat him better. Because if he says anything else, like you said a while ago, when I say something, I'm going to kill him and you're going to be sorry. Why can't we treat somebody the same way that we already have, that we treat somebody we're trying to win? And why can't we be as grateful for what we have as we will be grateful for what we used to have, we don't have it anymore? And why can't we plead God for God to give us rain while it's raining, and joy while we're happy, and peace while we're peaceful, and plenty while we're plenteous, and health while we're healthy? And why can't we stop to realize, I'll tell you what, I plead for God to help this church. I plead for God to give us souls. I plead for God to keep us healthy. I plead for our schools, for God. I mean, in the best year we ever have, I'll be pleading for God to bless us. God said, pray for rain during the latter rain, that I may win Christ. I already have Him. He's my Savior. When I, as a little poor boy in the ghettos of Southwest Dallas, knelt outside the back door of that building that Sunday night going out to an outdoor service, Christ came into me. Paul, may I ask you a question, please? Why do I have to win Him? You said that you may win Christ. You got Him on the Damascus Road. And you yourself said, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. And you yourself said, Christ in me, the hope of glory. And you yourself said, no man, neither death, nor life, nor angel, principalities, or any creature can separate the love of God. You yourself told us that you have Him. What are you talking about, winning Him? The old apostle says, I want to fight His heart to keep Him as if I had to fight to get Him. I want to win that which I have already won. Look at me, and I'm through. You apply that to everything in your life that you can. It'll change your treatment of your mom and dad. It'll change your treatment of your husband. It'll change your treatment of your wife. By the way, it'll change my treatment of you. And your treatment of me. And our treatment of each other. Look. I know this man right here is with me till one of us dies. Nobody else would hire him. It reminds me of what I told the deacons last night. I've got a preacher friend who started pastoring when he was 17. At the age of 17, he was called to pastor a church. Six other preachers, seven altogether, candidated for that church, and all of the others were 35, 40, 45, 50 or older. This little 17-year-old kid was called to pastor the church. They voted on his 17-year-old boy. And he was so proud that they voted on him instead of those six other older men, seasoned men, experienced men. He'd never preached much, but that's pastor. He came back in. They said, brother, you're the one we've called. Boy, his chest swelled up. He said, well, could I ask you a question? Why did you choose me? What did you see in me you didn't see in the others? The old country deacon said, because your wife was the only one who played the pianer. I thought about that when I think about you, John. Best man I ever met. The word steady is spelled C-O-L-S-T-E-N. Mister. Not Mrs. The word gab is spelt E-L-A-I-N-E. this guy will be with me till one of us goes to heaven. I'm confident of that. But I think he'll tell you this. I treat him every time I see him like I'm trying to win his friendship. I have John Colston. I want to win him. Most all the men who work on the platform, on the staff with me, are with me for life. They hope it's short so they can get on with their business. I have them. But I treat them like gentlemen. And I treat them as if I didn't have them. I promise you, Roy Moffat and I cut up an awful lot together. He's my Barney Fife. That guy right there, if he weren't in the Lord's work, I promise you'd go to Hollywood and make millions trying to get you to do it. I promise you'd go to Hollywood and make millions. That's one of the best actors right there in America. I'm trying to tell you he's a hypocrite. Insincere. But that guy is a born actor. But Roy Moffat's here. We cut up. I try to make him feel important to me by that. That's the way I say I love you to him. I want to win him, that I may win Roy Moffat, that I may win you. I feel as secure in this church as a man could feel. But every week I want to win my job again. I have no fear whatsoever of your voting me out because you couldn't get a good preacher for the salary you pay me. But I have no fear about that. But every week, I try to win my job again. That I may win you, whom I have. That you may win her, whom you already have. That you may win him, whom you already have. That you may win Christ, who is in you, and will not leave you, and will never leave you nor forsake you, he said. But Paul said, I want to treat him just like I was trying to earn my salvation. I know I'm saved by grace. It was Paul who said, for by grace you are saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. He said, I know I have him. I know he won't leave me. I know I can't lose him, but I am going to try to win him. I'm going to try to win that which I have already won. Would you bow your heads, please? No one is leaving. Everyone is still and quiet. Did somewhere along the trail this morning your phone ring? Did you hear the jingle of your doorbell? Did you see a need in your life this morning? I wondered this morning how many would say, Brother Hiles, I love that truth. I'm supposed to pray for rain during the latter rain. Not between the former rain and the latter rain, but during the latter rain, during that big rain that fills the ears of the corn. Brother Hiles, it may be my God that I've been taking for granted, I've not been trying to win. It may be my children I've been taking for granted that I've not been trying to win. It may be my wife I've been taking for granted that I've not been trying to win. It may be my husband I've been taking for granted. I've not been trying to win. Or some other area. Maybe my church. I wonder who would say today, Brother Hiles, thanks, I needed that. I'm afraid there's some things that I have that I've quit trying to win. I want God to help me, and I pledge myself today to work to win that which I have already won. Would you lift your hand, please? Would you lift your hand, please? You may lower your hands. Now, if you're here this morning and you're not a Christian, you don't have to win Christ. He's free of charge. All you have to do is trust Him. In just a moment, we're going to stand. The choir's going to sing. And you can walk out the doors of this building this morning, a child of God, by just receiving Christ as your Savior. One of these days you're going to have to do it. Why don't you do it today? Make it now. It won't be any easier tomorrow. In fact, it'll be harder the next time than this time. We stand and sing in a few minutes. You walk down the aisle and you can have Christ by trusting Him and receiving Him. If you've been saved and not yet walked an aisle or not yet been baptized, then you come. If you've been saved and you do not belong to a fundamental old-fashioned church in the area, we invite you to come and join an old-fashioned King James Bible, old-time religion, fundamental independent Baptist church. I hope you'll come. Shall we stand, please? The choir will sing. As the choir sings the first stanza, you leave your seat and come toward the aisle.